We got just a few minutes. I want to take you to 2 Kings chapter 5 if we can for the next few moments. And I realize it's the lateness of the hour, but I want to share something with you that I believe will be a help kind of to wrap up this evening. I hope it was helpful. Some of the questions that were asked were good questions, and I just sense that the Lord is totally preparing this to make it a great work, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we meet a man by the name of Naaman, and it describes his testimony in the first verse of this chapter as a man who was a pretty notable man in his community. He was captain of the host. He was a great man with his master. He was an honorable man. By him, the Lord had given deliverance to Syria. He was a mighty man in valor. And then he gives five words that negate everything we just described. It says, but he was a leper. And as I've read through this passage many times, I've couldn't help but think that this pretty much describes a functioning addict in our society today. You know, somebody who has a mortgage payment and holds down a good, well-paying job and maybe has a family and maybe has all these things going for them, but they have an addiction. And somebody who maybe is a good member of a local church, somebody who is faithful to the house of the Lord and has devotions, but they have a prescription problem that they're just trying to get deliverance from, and it's just got them crippled and they don't know how to respond, how to get out of that trap. And, you know, Naaman here is an example of somebody who the leprosy negated everything good about it. That's the way people view addiction. You know, they don't care. They want to lock them up and throw away the key. They want to get rid of them. They don't want to do any help towards them. But in the next few moments, I want to point out a journey that Naaman went on that took him from a preconceived idea of how to get clean, and he discovered through a series of things that Elisha puts him through, the truth. And I want to point out to you, look at verse 11, if you would, please. There's two verses I want to point out. Naaman, after he receives instruction from Elisha how to get clean of this leprosy, he gets angry. He gets mad. And he says in verse 11, it says, and Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, what's the next two words? I thought. Behold, I thought. Have you ever made a bad decision based on something that you thought to be true, only to discover later on that you were severely misinformed? We've all done that. We've all made bad decisions based on wrong information. And I met a guy the other day. He says, you know, I've never been wrong before. And then he corrected himself. And he says, you know what? Well, there was this one time when I thought I was wrong, but I was really right. And so I have been wrong one time in that case. And I said, man, you know, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But, you know, we all have kind of a preconceived idea about things in life. And some of you just got that. And so we all have a preconceived idea about things. Some of us had a preconceived idea before we came to Christ about what Christianity was all about. Some of us had a preconceived idea about maybe the church that you attend, what you thought the church was like. And, you know, maybe even this program, you've had a preconceived idea of, you know, I thought Reformers Dynamis was this, and maybe now it's a little different. Those preconceived ideas are what God wants to change many times in our life. And I want you to look down at verse number 15, because there's a change here. It says, and he returned after he followed what Elisha had instructed him to do. It says, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now, what's the next two words?
I know
that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Wow, so he goes from I thought to I know. He goes from, you know, I thought that you were going to heal me this way, and I thought in my preconceived idea that this was the way that you were going to recover this leprosy, but through a series of events that he went through, he comes to a full assurance, comes to a full confidence, comes to a full realization that nobody but God can deliver him, nobody but God can heal him. And I want to say tonight real quickly that, you know, people that have addictions, people that have struggles, people that have besetting sins that have them crippled, nobody but the Lord can deliver them. And, you know, the Friday night class is a great tool. It's a great opportunity for us to open up the doors of the church and have people come in and get some resources in their heart and in their life. But apart from the divine intervention of Almighty God, nobody's going to be changed permanently. And apart from Him reaching down and touching their life and changing their way of thinking, no one's going to experience lasting victory. But if we can get the Lord to act on our behalf and to act on their behalf and to intervene, if somehow we can get a hold of Him and convince the Lord to do a mighty work in the hearts of people, we can see amazing things changed. We can see amazing results, more mighty and more amazing than this story of Naaman changed from leprosy. We can see somebody changed from and cleansed from an alcohol addiction. Somebody cleansed from and changed from a cocaine addiction. Somebody changed from whatever addiction it is that binds them. You know, before I came to Reformers Unanimous, I had a preconceived idea of what I thought recovery was going to look like, of what I thought the home in Rockford was going to look like. And I remember I often reflect on the residential program I went to back in Oregon, because they had this brochure that they handed you before you get there. You know, and there's this big picture of a river with a raft. You know, there's a big rafting trip, I supposedly, at this thing. And I got to the program in Oregon, and I asked one of the guys who was in the program, I said, "When's the rafting trip?" And he laughed. He says, "The rafting trip." He says, "You saw the flyer, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "There's no rafting trip." I said, "Man, that's false advertisement. I thought there was a rafting trip. Clearly, there's a picture of a raft and there's whitewater rapids." And he says, "No, in fact, you don't even get to go outside." I'm like, wow, that's major false advertisement. And what I thought recovery was going to look like, I was sadly mistaken. It was nothing like that. Same when I came to Rockford, Illinois. You know, I thought that I was going to walk in and something was going to happen to me that was going to change me, because this was a faith-based program. You know, I had been to a secular program. I knew that that wasn't the answer. So I thought, you know, something about this faith-based program is going to change me just by me walking on campus at the church. It didn't happen. It wasn't just an instant thing. It was a process where God got me into His Word, and He got me away from those influences, got me in that greenhouse effect. And my preconceived idea went out the window. But you know what happened when I graduated? Is I walked across that platform saying, "Now I know my Lord personally. Now I know that God can change my life. And now I know that what He did for me, He can do other people." And my thinking error and my I thought mentality went out the window and was replaced by a confidence in a God who can do amazing things. You know, we serve the God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I love what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah walked out of the sky and he looked up and he said, "Ah, Lord God," he said, "Thou hast made the heavens by thy great power and outstretched arm." He said, "There's nothing too hard for thee." And I want to say tonight that there's no case that's too hard for the Lord to break. There's no addiction that's too mighty for the Lord to break. And there's no case, there's no person that's bound so tightly with the effects of addiction that God can't reach through and bring them to victory. He can do anything. But I want to point out real quickly what Naaman went through that brought him from I thought to I know. There's a road that he travels. Number one, there was a blot on the record. Yeah, we talked about this morning how that until Mephibosheth realized that he was crippled by a fall, he was not ready to experience the compassionate love of King David. And until somebody gets past that point of denial, when you're dealing with somebody that has an addictions, they're not ready to experience what Christ can do for them. They need to realize that I have a leprosy, that I have a problem. And they need to get past the denial before they can ever receive help. Here's a man that was a hardworking man, had a great reputation, had one of the highest positions ever known in that time, but it was all negated by the fact that he had a problem. Until he recognized that problem, he wasn't going to receive the recovery that he needed. And so what helped him to see his problem? How did he get from verse 1 and through down to verse 15? I know. You know, there's an unnamed captive in this story in verse number 2 that's probably the most important character in this whole chapter. It says in verse 2 that the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Hidden away behind the scenes is this unnamed captive that goes to Naaman's wife, and her prayer and her heart's desire and her burden is, "God, would you please deliver Naaman from this leprosy?" And I believe that she is the key to the story of why Naaman found recovery, why he got past the denial, and while he traveled the road from I thought to I know. And it's always the case in this work of intervention, this work of helping addicted people. Most often, when you see somebody who's walking in victory, there's a mother that's hid behind the scenes praying for her son. There's a grandmother that's hid behind the scenes praying for her granddaughter. There's an unnamed captive in the regime that's praying on behalf of somebody, saying, "God, you've got to do a work in their life. God, you've got to bind the enemy from them. God, you've got to intervene. God, you've got to show them that they have a problem. God, you've got to do for them what they cannot do for themselves." And for me, it was my sister Cheryl. She prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted. I could tell, because when she approached me for the first time, all the excuses were removed. And it was like a peace and a calm, like God answered her prayer right in front of my very eyes, because there was a sister of mine that was sincere, that went to God and said, "God, you've got to do for him what he can't do for himself." You know, as we think about this Friday night program, about this Reformers Unanimous ministry that's about to start, I just want to say that apart from the prayers of God's people, and apart from the intercessory prayer going on behind the scenes, people might come on Friday night, but they're not going to get changed. What we need and what they need is for us to meet behind the scenes, us to meet like they did this morning before the services. There was men and some ladies in here interceding in prayer for the Lord to manifest his presence and to reveal his power. And there needs to be some people behind the scenes that go and shut the door in their closet and say, "God, you need to reach out to the people in this community. God, you need need to use us. God, you need to partner us together in prayer and claim the promise. God, where two or three are gathered in my name, God, you've promised to manifest your presence. You've promised to reveal yourself. And if we would become a praying people that would beseech the throne of God and say, God, you need to deliver them. God, you need to use us to help and be your instrument.